Hebrews chapter number 11. We'll begin reading with verse number 6 tonight. We're going to cover verse number 6, verse number 7. We'll also be going over to Genesis chapter number 6 to kind of pick up a little bit also. But the last few weeks we've been in the book of Hebrews talking about faith and the heroes of faith that are mentioned here in Hebrews chapter number 11. Maybe trying to pick up some attributes and some characteristics from some of these here in the Hall of Faith that we can bring into our life to maybe help our faith increase. And, you know, I was thinking this afternoon as I was trying to study just a little bit and look back over my notes where we've been talking about increasing our faith and trying to have more faith. But so how much faith do we really have when the Bible tells us if we had the amount of faith as a mustard seed that we could say to yonder mountain be removed? And I'm not sure that he's literally talking about a mountain there, but for us to have the kind of faith that for God to work in our life, he says it's the size of a mustard seed, and we're continually asking God to increase our faith. It kind of puts in perspective how much faith that I have in my life. But here in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6, again, I think this is a really important verse as we're looking at the heroes of faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. It doesn't matter how much scripture that you can quote. It doesn't matter how many times you go to church in a week's time. It doesn't matter how many times you may pray over a meal. All of that comes back to where is your faith? Because the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse number 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, or you might say reverence there, or respect of God, being moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So we're going to turn to Genesis chapter number 6 and look at just a little bit of what was going on here that is being brought up in Hebrews chapter number 11. So as we go to Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 13, we all know this story. It's very familiar to you if you've been in church any time and maybe even learned about it in Sunday school as a child. But as we look at this, it's amazing. It's not amazing. It's amazing what Noah did right here. And has anybody here been to the Ark Experience out in Kentucky yet? Ain't that where it's at? Am I right on that? Okay, that sounds like a good church trip sooner or later. So I'd love to go out there and see the Ark Experience there in Kentucky. But when you look at the faith that it took for Noah to comply with what God asked him to do, and when you look at the effort that he had to put in to put his faith, you remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about faith without works being dead. So what if God had looked at Noah and said, Noah, here's what's going to happen. We're going to read what's going to happen in just a minute. And Noah would have said, okay, God, I believe you, and never did anything about it. That faith would have been dead, wouldn't it? That would have been something he could have said, well, I believed God. When God told me that, I believed that was really going to happen. But without the works to go along with the faith that Noah had, then, well, we wouldn't be here, just to put it plainly. So Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower sacket and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. Now, as we look at this, you know, God has given a clear set of blueprints, or maybe it was clear to Noah, obviously. You know, if I read these instructions, now listen, I can't put stuff together anyway. I can read a book about how to do something, and I can tell you how to do it. But I can't do it for nothing. I used to hate Christmas for that purpose, trying to put together all those toys on Christmas Eve that Santa Claus had brought. Yeah, it was just terrible. So as Noah looks here and he's got this set of instructions that God has given him and how he's going to build this ark. Now look, God has come to Noah and he says, look, Noah, more or less, the sins of the earth has come before me. And I'm going to destroy because everything has become so wicked. But I'm so thankful for a verse that we can find here in Genesis, that as God looks at the earth and he sees that everything has become wicked and that everything needs to be destroyed, there in verse number 8, the Bible says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." I'm thankful tonight for God's grace, because you know what? As God looks at my life, I deserve destroying. As God looks at my life, I don't deserve mercy. As God looks at my life, I can be found guilty of different things, but I'm glad that I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you know what? I believe it was because that God could see the faith of Noah. Now look, these people were having faith in something. You know, we can look back at the cross and we can look at Jesus Christ, and we have put our faith and our trust in the cross and in Jesus Christ. These people were way before that, and they were putting their faith in something that was to come before. So as Noah gets the instructions from God, and God says, "Here's what, I want you to go build a big boat, and because I'm going to destroy the earth, and I'm going to destroy the earth with water. It's going to rain." Now, Noah had never seen rain at this point in time. It had never rained on the earth, and now all of a sudden, God is saying, "I'm going to destroy the earth with water. It's going to rain. It's going to flood the whole earth, and I need you to build a boat. And I need you to go about this." Now, look, I wonder if maybe at one time, as Noah receives those instructions for God, that maybe right at first, that even us, even sometimes in my weakness of faith, if I could have said, "Okay, God, I'm in. This sounds like a plan. I'm with you, God. Because I trust you, God, and I'm going to go with what you say." But as you look and as you study the scripture, somewhere around 100 years is what it took Noah to build this ark. Somewhere, I mean, go back to verse number 3, and it talks about in 120 years is when this is going to happen. So there was 120 years of like a precursor that God gave, that this is when this is going to happen. So Noah had that time period, and if you go and you study about when his sons were born, you can kind of put it all together, and you can find out that it took somewhere around 100 years for Noah to build this ark. And as Noah's building this ark, he's also carrying a message. As he's out there and he's building this ark and he's carrying the message to the people that God is going to destroy this earth. And I'm going to build this ark, and you need to be ready to get on this ark. You need to be ready to get on board. See, again, once our faith goes into action, see, we can sit all day and say that we have faith. And again, we know that the Bible says that faith without works is dead. What would you have thought? Now, if you were in this time period, and let's just say you're walking by one day and Noah's sitting there, and maybe he's just sitting on a bucket somewhere. There's no ark being built. There's no tools being laid out. There's nothing going on, but he's saying, "God's going to destroy this earth. God is tired of the wickedness. God is tired of the sin, and he's going to destroy the earth with rain." And there Noah sits on the bucket. There wouldn't have been a whole lot of seriousness taken to his message. There wouldn't have been a whole lot of people saying, "You know what, I really believe," and not that anybody did anyway. We'll get to that in just a minute. But as Noah's sitting there saying that, I wonder sometimes if I'm sitting on a bucket giving a message instead of letting my life. See, you know, I think it was completely different as Noah's sitting there and he's giving them the message. This earth is going to be destroyed with water. And he's sitting there building a boat just as hard as he can go. I'm afraid sometimes we as Christians, we say that we have faith. We say that we believe God, that we trust God. But there's no actions going into our faith. We're sitting on a bucket instead of building a boat. It's time that we start putting our faith into actions and letting the world see that we really believe what we say that we are. That we really believe that God has done and will do what he says he's going to do. The message now that we have is that Jesus Christ will save you, that Jesus Christ loves you. He'll forgive you of your sins. And the ultimate message is that Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. That is the ultimate message that we have to carry. But sometimes I think that we're so busy in this world that we have here. Maybe some of us might be tied up in sin. Some of us might have some things in our life that shouldn't be there. And we are sitting, and maybe we have the message. Maybe you really believe the message that Jesus Christ is coming back sometime. That Jesus Christ one day is going to split the eastern sky. And I'll just go ahead and make a point to say this. I don't think there's anything holding him back right now except for mercy and love. I think is the only thing that is holding him from calling his church out of here. So as you look at that, how many of us, if you really look at the message that we're carrying, that Jesus Christ loves you, he wants to save you, that's the most important decision that you could ever make. Without Jesus Christ, you'll die and go to hell. Now, I know we don't really get out there and put that real blunt sometimes. But if that's the message that we're carrying, are we sitting on a bucket giving that message, or are we building a boat while we're giving that message? And the similarity being, look, We get so comfortable in this world that we have. God has blessed us so much, and there is nothing wrong with being happy. There is nothing wrong with enjoying what God has given us. There is nothing wrong with going out here and just saying, God, thank you, and worshiping God even in the small things that we do day in and day out. But I'm afraid that sometimes we get so tied up in that, that we have forgot that this is not our home. That we have forgotten that one day Jesus is coming back for us. See, as Noah's sitting there and he's building that boat and he's pounding them pegs and he's carving that gopher wood and he's doing all these things, I think you can see meaning to his message as he is saying, God's going to destroy this thing with water. You better be ready to get on the boat when it's time to go. So as Noah is out there and he's building this ark and he's given the message that God has given him to give the people, I wonder sometimes if we are also putting our faith into actions. I wonder if sometimes, though, if we're just saying, yeah, God, I believe it's going to happen, and God, my faith is in your word, and I believe your word, but there is no action whatsoever going on in our life. I can look at times in my life when that is definitely the case in my life. But as Noah is out here building this ark, and he is giving the message, he's out here for approximately 100 years giving the word of the Lord. He has never seen the rain before. And then God looks at him and says, I want you to know something else. Not only are you going to build this ark, and you're going to build it this size, and it's going to rain, and it's going to flood, and I'm going to destroy the earth, but guess what? One day all the animals are going to come get on your boat. Okay, God, really? Really, God? All the animals are going to come get on this boat that I built? It's sad. Well, they're God's creation, but it's sad that the animals responded even more so than the people did of the day. But you want to know what? I meet some animals out here that's got a little more common sense than the people I run into. I meet some people out here that I believe has got a little more God about them than the people I meet around sometimes. But see, as he looks and he says, okay, Noah, here's what's going to happen, and these animals are going to get on your boat. I would have said, I don't know, God. I might would have questioned that. I might would have said, okay, God, I can believe that I might need to build this boat. But as he's out here, and maybe it seems kind of crazy that this could even, that God's even telling him to do this. It seems kind of outlandish that God's going to flood the earth with rain, that he's going to flood it with water. It seems outlandish that God's going to send all the animals to get on the boat. Maybe even so that Noah says, you know what, God? I got faith. I'm going to give your message. I'm going to build your boat. I'm going to let you do the rest of the work. Now, see, that's where we get tangled up sometimes. All of a sudden, we think that we're doing something. But as Noah is doing that, I wonder, so we've done kind of talked about a little bit that maybe it took about 100 years or so as he's building this boat. Maybe for the first year, boy, he was gung-ho. Man, he was out there and he was pounding pegs and he was preaching and he was passionate about what he did. What do you think it was by year 10, by year 20? By year 30. See, a lot of times that's the way I've looked at my Christian life. I can remember when God saved me, even at the age of 7, I wanted to tell everybody. I even knew at the age of 7 that Jesus Christ was the best thing that had ever happened to me. I felt so free that God had forgiven me of my sins. I wanted to tell all of my friends at school. I told teachers at school. My grandpa, I don't know how in the world he got me to do it, but I even stood up in the front of his church and told everybody about me getting saved. I can remember doing that. What about now that I'm 30 years into it? See, Noah went for 100 years, and man, he just remained faithful. See, if we get our faith in God the way that we're supposed to have our faith in God, then I think that faith in God, I know this is not really a play on words, but maybe you'll stay with me here, will produce faithfulness in our life. It will absolutely produce faithfulness in our lives. This day and time, you see so many people that are wishy-washy. You see so many people that are in church today, they're out of church tomorrow. They're in church next week. God's the best thing that's ever happened to them today. They're out next week. They're wanting to tell you about, let's just get real plain right here. They want to tell you about Jesus one minute and they cuss in the next minute. That's the time and day that we live in. But I believe that faith will produce faithfulness. I'm not saying that you won't mess up. I'm not saying that things won't happen sometimes and And man, faith, oh, my faith has become a shipwreck. I mean, just bam, just fell apart right here all of a sudden. I'm not saying that that won't happen to you. But I believe, look, I think these guys that were heroes of faith that we're reading about in Hebrews chapter number 11, and then we go back and reread the events that put them in the hall of faith there, I think when we look, I think faithfulness, well, first of all, God tells us that obedience is greater than sacrifice. So being obedient to God is more important than anything that you could possibly do. And that obedience will produce faithfulness, will help your faith to grow. But as Noah's out here and he's building this boat for 100 years, and like I said, maybe he was really excited for the first five years. Maybe he was really excited. I was joking with Shannon and Randall just before church about a situation. I said, you know what? I said, this guy had several people that was willing to be involved in a cause that he had. And I said, and now that it's getting time for everything to take place, people are dropping like flies. They're calling him saying, I can't go, can't go, can't go. And I don't even know if he's going to have enough or whatever. And you look at that, and what was sad is what I told him. I said, it sounds like a bunch of Baptists, don't it? They're all gung-ho until it's time to put everything into action, and then something comes up. Hey, I've been there too. I'm not throwing stones because y'all could all throw one right back at me. But when are we going to start looking and saying, I'm now going to let my faith go into action. I'm going to be excited about my faith, and I'm going to prove myself faithful unto God. Well, preacher, I'm at church every Sunday. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. What about the other 6 days of the week? Oh, you're here on Wednesday night too, so let's go to 5 days a week. What are we doing the rest of that time? Are we building a boat and giving a message? Or are we just sitting on a bucket somewhere going, I believe God. I believe God's going to do what he says he's going to do. Anybody, maybe y'all did, but I didn't get up this morning and look for the eastern sky to split. I got up just to see how fast I could get to my desk and start getting work done today. And then I got to see how many phone calls I could answer, how many delivery trucks I could get on the road. Now, I know we got daily duties that we take care of. I know that we all have things going on in our lives, but sometimes I wonder, If I had been Noah, would you have built the ark? Or would mankind, as we know it, been forever gone, and somewhere they would have been a pile of gopher wood? Because you were excited when you started. You got all you started. Man, you was gung-ho, ready to rock and roll. But somewhere along the line, hey, let me tell you something. As Noah was out there and he was building that ark, I guarantee you, I wasn't there, but I guarantee you that everybody that walked by didn't pat him on the back and say, good job, Noah. I'm proud of you. You're doing such a wonderful work for God. I guarantee you that there was people that made fun of him, that laughed at him, that said he was crazy, that even when he began to give the message, would just say, that is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. You really think animals are going to get on this boat? Noah, you've lost it. What kind of medication you on today, Noah? I guarantee you that it wasn't just everybody, Noah, we're proud of you. They probably said, look, that boat down there is keeping that old crazy guy busy. Because he was like 500 years old when he started building this. So some of y'all think you're too old to do something for God. Look at Noah. Get over it. You're not too old yet. He was 500 years old when he started. He was over 600 years old when he was in the ark. So as we look at Noah, man, let me tell you something. When you go day in and day out, not everybody is going to be happy about your faithfulness to God. Not everybody is going to come by and say, good job. You're doing such a wonderful job. The thing is, this is where our faith is tested. This is where our faith is measured. Will we remain faithful when everybody else turns their back and goes the other way? Will we remain faithful when nobody sees it the way that we see it? Will we remain faithful when we're doing our best to believe God and trust God and lean to God and everybody else thinks that we're crazy for it? Hey, when you get up and come to church on Sunday morning, I'm sure some of y'all have had these thoughts. I've had these thoughts. Man, I work all week. We run. I'm tired. It would be nice just to go to the lake on Sunday. If I didn't pastor, I'm not saying this. I'm saying this is the way your mind works sometimes. This is the way my mind works sometimes. If I didn't pastor a church, I'd buy me a camper, and me and my family would go camping every weekend. There's nothing wrong going camping. But me and my family would go camping every weekend. We wouldn't even go. We would go out there and enjoy God in nature. And God's in nature, no doubt. But the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And then even so much more as you see the day approaching. I see the day approaching. So look, here's my thing. We give ourselves excuses to not remain faithful. And just attending church is not the only way that we can remain faithful. But the point is this. After so long, would you continue being faithful or would you give up? And say, you know what? I believe God, but nobody else does. What's the use? Why would I even keep going? Well, let's look at two things. First of all, Noah believed God. He made the hall of faith by being faithful unto God. But also, he carried a message to the people that God wanted the people to have. And there was his wife and his three boys that was following him. To us men especially, and I'm not saying anything bad about ladies, and we'll get to that in just a minute, because some of you ladies are the spiritual leaders in your homes. Your husbands are not spiritual men or whatever. They can't be there all the time. Or you might be there by yourself. But especially us as men, we are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of our household, and our faithfulness to God will directly affect our family. Amen. It will absolutely affect our family. You think if I give up tomorrow and say, I'm done, I'm not going back to church, I'm not preaching no more, I'm just going to go live my own life and do what I want to do. Do you not think that that would affect my children? Absolutely. 100%. Sure would. You say, well, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, I tell you what, go home tomorrow, go into work, punch in, walk into your boss's office and say, I quit, and just walk out. That would affect your family, wouldn't it? And see, we're not going to do that because we say, oh, no, preacher, me and my family, we got to eat. Me and my family, we got to have our toys. Me and my family, we need a house, and I got a house payment. And all. Well, I'm going to tell you what, these spiritual things that we're working towards, and I'm talking about your faith being proved by your works, these spiritual things that we're working towards is way more important than any of those other things that we just named physically. Way more important. So Noah here in the hall of faith, because he believed God, because he remained faithful unto God, my question unto you is, would you have built the ark and would you have finished? Would you have been willing to believe God enough that when God told Noah something outlandish, something that maybe Noah's like, oh, well, I don't know. See, we got to be to the place that we are fully surrendered unto God and that we're completely trusting God. Do you 100% trust God? I do right now. But there's times that I don't. There may be a time tomorrow that I don't. There may be another time in my life that I question God. And for my faith to produce the faithfulness, again, I'm not trying to make it into a hall of faith. But I believe that God give us these examples in Hebrews chapter number 11 to help us understand what kind of faith that was possible in our lives. I believe for my faith to reach that, I've got to get to where I go. It seems like I've said this every Wednesday. God, I surrender. I'm done. I'm not going to work it out on my own. I'm not going to try to figure it out. Now look, if you come in here next Wednesday and say, preacher, I want to tell you something. God has told me, I'll just use an old example, that a comet is coming across the sky and we're going to catch on the tail of this comet and it's going to take us to heaven. I'm going to say, you're contradicting God's word. I don't believe you. I'm sorry. I'm going to pray for you. You're crazy. Okay? But there are things that God speaks to our hearts, and we know that God has spoken to our hearts. And those things we need to fully trust, fully rely, fully surrender, and fully yield to the Holy Spirit in our lives. You say, well, preacher, give me an example. I won't have to. When God really speaks to you like that, you'll know. I'll give you an example for me. I'm here, ain't I? No intentions of being here. No intentions of staying here and pastoring. 100%, I was coming to preach a few Sundays, give it to you, and go. That's what I was coming for. I'm going to lay it down and roll on. And it wasn't but just a Sunday or two, I started feeling a little different. And then doggone Frank Shepherd showed up at work one day and told me I need to pray about it. And then some other people showed up in my life and said, what would you think about this and that? And then I'll never forget one Sunday morning, I was standing right back there, and I believe they were taking up the offering, and I believe it was some of the people probably from the pulpit committee, I don't know. But one of my little girls went to the bathroom, and when she come back, she said, "Daddy, there's a whole bunch of people out there in the front of the church praying that God will lay it on your heart to stay here." And it happened again right there. The cold chills run up the back of my neck. Not that cold chills means God's all over it. I'm just saying God spoke to my heart over that time period. And I knew that God spoke to my heart. There was no running from it. Now, you know, at that point in time, y'all voted me in with 100% vote. Probably if we took another vote today, probably about 65. I wouldn't stay for less than 100 at that point in time, but now about 55. I'll stay. I'll stay for 55. So where's our faithfulness tonight? Where are we at? Would you have built the ark? Would you have completed it? Man, we're running a race, and it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And you may fall. You may trip, whatever, but get up and start running again. Keep building. Keep your faithfulness in God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. And God, if nothing else or for nobody else, God, I know this lesson tonight was for me. God, I pray that you'll help me, God, just to be faithful. It don't take a lot of skill. It don't take a lot of knowledge. It don't take anything but just trust in you for me to be faithful, God. I pray that you'll help me, God, to live my life in a way that points others to you and gives you glory. God, I pray that you'll help me to continue to do the things in my life that I know you've told me to do. Help me to continue to go on, God, even when others don't seem like, when others seem to be contrary to what I know that you've told me to do, God, I want to just keep building. Don't let me sit on a bucket, but help my life point that my faith and my trust is in you. God, I thank you for each and every one that's here tonight, and I pray that you'll help us all just to live lives that, God, will help others to see their need for Jesus Christ. And it's his name we pray. Amen.